Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. From time to time throughout the first year of Catholic Baltimore, we've featured programming from our partners at Salt and Light Radio. Thanks to the generosity of Salt and Light, we're able to bring you this three-part interview series on Pope Francis's encyclical on the environment, Laudato Si. I hope you enjoy it.
We're speaking with Sister Damian Marie Savino. She is the chair of the Environmental Science and Studies Department at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. She's an environmental engineer and a Franciscan Sister of the Eucharist. And we're talking about Laudato Si, on the care for our common home, that Pope Francis's encyclical on the ecology. You're listening to the Salt and Light Hour, and I am Deacon Pedro. So you mentioned that he actually goes, can I say that there's sort of examples of groaning or examples of problems? Mm-hmm. And he talks about pollution. Mm-hmm. He talks about climate change. He talks about water issues. He talks about loss of biodiversity, mm-hmm. Which I think are all ecological problems that we're familiar with. We might not all agree on the reasons.
Yes.
But they're there. But the last one that I want to ask you about, he talks about the decline of quality of human life and the breakdown of society. We don't associate that with ecological problems. And again, is that part of the integral? He's looking at the bigger picture, not just the natural ecology, but also the meaning, the human meaning of ecology.
Yes, and here he's with that, going back to that theme of interconnectedness.
Uh-huh.
He's saying, well, we have these natural issues, water, climate change, pollution, all of that,
yes,
waste. But we also, those issues in the natural world have an impact on human society and human development.
Right.
And especially as it relates to the poor, because many of these, mm-hmm, you know, environmental degradation is disproportionately impactful of the poor.
Yes.
And around the world, I mean, they're suffering terribly.
He talks about what environmental refugees. I don't think,
yes,
he uses that term, but that's what he means.
Mm-hmm.
So people like in the Sahel region in Africa that, because,
yeah,
of drought, they, mm-hmm, they have to move and they're displaced and they're,
yes,
not recognized as refugees.
They're not recognized. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think, again, that sense that the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor are, mm-hmm, interrelated. And so what we do to the earth has also resulted in a decline in the quality of human life. And any secular environmental scientist will agree with that. I mean, that's one reason why many secular environmentalists feel a kind of calling in their work.
Right.
Is because they see that it's all interconnected and one results in the decline of the other.
Yeah, and I guess that makes sense in terms of the quality of human life. But he's also talking about the dignity of human life.
Yes.
We're Catholic, so we can talk about how we feel about pro-life issues.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the breakdown of society that I think is interesting, it sounds so trivial to say that it's interesting that he threw it in there because it's related. But, you know, I think of the breakdown of society, I think of the breakdown of the family.
Yes, exactly.
And how all these things are related. We talk about what future do we want to leave our children. We're not just talking about that they have water to drink and air to breathe, but that they also don't have to go to schools where kids are shooting each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, that goes back to maybe to Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II connecting this to their World Day of Peace messages.
Yes,
they,
yes,
often talked about
always
environmental issues. So.
Absolutely. Interesting. So it's all interconnected.
Yes.
Integrated. Nice. You haven't mentioned it yet, but I want to bring it up just because, and I don't know if I can pronounce this word, but he uses a word, I can't say it, anthropocentrism. Is that,
yes,
correct? What is that? What is he talking about?
Well, anthropo meaning human.
Yes.
And centrism meaning this sort of extensive focus or centering on the human person.
Yeah.
Usually in the secular environmental field, that term is a critique of our current models of development by secular environmentalists to say, oh, but the, you know, the Bible is anthropocentric, so humans are responsible for this because they read the Bible and said we're supposed to be dominators. Pope,
sorry, can I stop you? So, yeah. so they take, the seculars will mm-hmm. take anthropocentrism, I can't say it.
Yes, you're getting it.
Anthropocentrism to mean that the humans are superior, or that there's a primacy to the human, because there is. I suppose that's part
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, in the secular world, there's a critique of that.
That term the church would say that human beings are superior.
Yes, I mean, the church has been criticized for that.
Okay.
That because of Genesis, we took it to mean that everything is instrumental and we are to be dominators
right.
of the earth. Now, Pope Francis, I think, again, amazing how he takes the secular, what are secular terms, primarily,
yes.
and then puts them in here and puts another twist on it. Because
uh-huh.
he's obviously not saying that the church is responsible. He does address that question at one point, and he says, those who interpreted Genesis to say that have misinterpreted Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and that has happened over history, that Scripture has been misinterpreted because we do make mistakes.
Right.
But he clarifies that the correct interpretation of that means keeping and tilling, so it means caring for our common home.
Yes.
Basically. So he's putting the corrective in there. But what he says is our problem with anthropocentrism is that technocratic paradigm
right.
that has made us, because of the rapid progress of technology and the widespread use of it, we have become technocratic, separated from the natural world. We cut out God out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes nature, no
right.
longer creation. And then we become gods, quote, and we become masters, dominators. And then that's the anthropocentrism that he's critiquing
right.
in this encyclical.
Right. So, and you've said this to me before, because I remember you telling me that, you know, God plants the garden. He gives us the task to take care of the garden. So we are God's the master gardener, but we are the little gardeners. And the problems that we have is when we try to take God out of the garden.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Pope Benedict was very strong on that in his work, that
yeah.
we have to put, if we want to recover creation for the future, we have to put the Creator back in the picture.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro. We're talking about Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si on the care for our common home and the relationship between what the church has to say about ecology and how we can maybe reflect on these problems differently. Speaking with Sister Damian Marie Savino, she is a Franciscan Sister of the Eucharist. She's also an environmental engineer and an expert in all these topics. Maybe one last thing, because we're a little, I don't want to run out of time, but without talking about work, I was surprised to see this whole section on work. And I'm thinking now, because we were talking about gardening, of course, God has told us till and mm-hmm. take care of the land, so that's work. And the fact that there's something dignified about work, which is not a new teaching of the church, but why is it here?
Again, I was struck by that, too, in reading it. There's quite a bit about work. And I think one thing he's doing here is connecting this encyclical to the social encyclicals that have come before, mm-hmm. in which the dignity of work was laid out clearly by the Catholic Church as a principle of social justice that the Catholic Church has always held to. And then that other connection between tilling and keeping is work. So the importance of work, and work that involves this kind of tilling and keeping, this kind of caring for
right.
versus dominating, mastering kind of work, that trying to get us back to,
mm-hmm.
you know, the original Benedictine sense of
yes.
work
ora.
As, yeah, ora et labora. So.
Work I was going to say play. Play is important too, but work and pray.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly where it is, but I believe it's after that about work. He does speak about the Sabbath rest.
Yes, he does.
And so I think that play, it really is ora et labora, or that balance between good work and uplifting work.
Yes.
That's tilling and keeping and caring, and then rest, where we can have that contemplative view of what we've done and
yes.
that contemplative look at the natural world.
Yeah, and it's all, it is, that particular thing is in the section on Scripture, which I love, because I always think about creation, you think of Genesis, But you forget that there's other things from Deuteronomy or Exodus mm-hmm. about how you should take care of the land, and you should not harvest the corners of the land so that the poor can also benefit. And then after seven years and 49 years, and mm-hmm. it's all there for a reason. You're a teacher.
Yes.
Sister Damian Marie Savino, not just a teacher, but the chair of the Environmental Science and Studies and Science Department.
Science and Studies. Yeah.
Of the University of St. Thomas in Houston. There's a whole section on education and ecological conversion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must be excited about that section.
I am. And I'm very excited because, I mean, in our program at a Catholic liberal arts university, we can have this kind of whole vision. So we want to give them the science. So that's the first chapter of the encyclical.
Yes.
But we want to give them also, how do you live in virtue? How do you cultivate good habits? And really hands-on ways of doing this, which I think the Pope is calling for. So I think this kind of education, almost aesthetic or liberal arts education, is going to be essential for the kind of conversion he's talking about. So we want the technical, but we also need the kind of ethical and the spiritual formation.
And the artistic, I think, and is the artistic. In there as well.
The beauty, the sense of beauty is so important. And that sense of awe and wonder. And so in the sciences, we hope and pray that we educate our students with that sense of awe and wonder and mm-hmm. not the technocratic sense. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's very enthralling, a lot of the technology. But hopefully it helps enhance the sense of awe and wonder. Yeah.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Looking to kickstart your spiritual life in 2016? Catholic leaders in the Archdiocese of Baltimore say it's not as difficult as you may think, as long as you take it slow, persevere, and don't get discouraged by setbacks. There's no better place to begin than receiving the Sacrament of Reconciliation, according to Father Matthew Buning, a Catholic chaplain at Towson University. Even if it's been decades since you've gone to confession, he said, God is waiting to extend mercy. Barbara Anderson, Pastoral Life Director of St. Anthony Shrine in Emmitsburg and Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Thurmont, suggested that individuals be intentional about shaping up their spiritual lives. That may mean setting aside a few minutes a day to pray or committing to attend Mass more frequently, she said. Make your goal something you have to reach for, she said, but not something that's so far out of reach that you're not going to achieve it. For more tips for a spiritual shape-up, visit CatholicReview.org. Creationism versus evolution, scientific method versus ethics, science versus faith. For centuries, there have been countless arguments pitting science against faith as if they were two opposing forces. In the hopes of dispelling lingering myths and misunderstandings, one ecclesiastical institute has launched a unique online program explaining the compatible roles religion and science play in seeking meaning and knowledge in today's world. Sponsored by the Pontifical Council for Culture, the Science and Faith in Dialogue program is run by the Theological Faculty of Catalonia in Barcelona, Spain. It seeks to bridge the gap between science and faith through education, according to Catholic News Service. Because of the course's success, the Theological Institute is now launching the course in English starting February 9th. For more information, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is George Matisek.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only newspaper in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full time, the Catholic Review. The print newspaper can be delivered to your home every other Thursday, and you can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online at CatholicReview.org. Again, online, that's CatholicReview.org.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. From time to time throughout the first year of Catholic Baltimore, we've featured programming from our partners at Salt and Light Radio. Thanks to the generosity of Salt and Light, we're able to bring you this three-part interview series on Pope Francis's encyclical on the environment, Laudato Si. I hope you enjoy it.
We're speaking with Sister Damian Marie Savino. She is the chair of the Environmental Science and Studies Department at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. She's an environmental engineer and a Franciscan Sister of the Eucharist. And we're talking about Laudato Si on the care for our common home, that Pope Francis's encyclical on the ecology. You're listening to the Salt and Light Hour. There's so much in here. Is this encyclical surprising to you? Did you imagine it this way? I mean, it's so full.
It's very surprising. First of all, I mean, the comprehensiveness of it and the degree, just even the way it's structured, the degree to which he was engaging with the scientific world.
Yes.
And the fact that he would address an encyclical to the whole world, not just to Catholics.
Yes.
And he says that right up front. It's never happened before in the history of the church, in the history of humanity.
Yes.
The radicalness, you know, I just think there's so many gems buried in there. We're going to be unpacking this for a long time.
Yes, it is. It is. And I hope, I mean, I know that I wouldn't be surprised if most dioceses are posting this on their websites. I know you can find it at the Vatican website. You can certainly find it at the Salt and Light website, saltandlighttv.org. And you will find that your parishes, your diocesan offices, they're doing activities because the Pope is giving us, it's a call to action in many ways to do what, to reflect, yes, but what can we do to take care of our common home, which is something that you and I have been doing, Sister, for the last 5 years. We've been working on a 6-part documentary series trying to answer that. We started at trying to answer the question, why should we care for the environment? Tell us in 2 minutes, Sister, a little bit about that.
About our documentary.
Our documentary series, Creation, which the first episode aired on Salt and Light Television last week. The second one is going to air next Tuesday, June 23rd. But they're available. They will be available online as well because we want people to watch them. So I think it's also a part of, it's great that the Pope is paying attention to what we're doing and following our lead on this one. But tell us quickly, so what would you say would be the kind of the highlights of Creation, or the series?
I think we're picking up a lot of these themes, and I hope that our series can be used to unpack some of the encyclical in hands-on ways.
Yes.
We talk about awe and wonder as the foundation for stewardship.
Yes.
We talk about respect and how we look at nature, and the sort of preeminence, as the Pope puts it, of the human person, not as a master or dominator, but as this kind of steward. But we introduce a new term.
Yes.
Which I don't know if I should say it,
or
if we should
say it. People should watch the series.
Yes, in terms of our what we call our role in creation.
Yes.
Very special term. And we deal with what happens when we don't respect creation, so some of these issues. And then how might we learn to speak the grammar of creation, to listen to what creation is saying?
Yes.
And then finally, what is integral ecology? And we use case studies.
Yes.
We've traveled all over the country with these case studies, interviewing people who have innovative ways of looking at the land, who are listening to creation in different ways, who are using their way of working with creation to help human communities.
Yeah, so lots of stories about water shortage, waste management, urban or local farming, and lots of really neat stuff. Very exciting. So that's Creation. You can find out more at saltandlighttv.org/creation. creation. Like I said, the first episode, Sense of Wonder, is on the website, and it aired last week on June 16th, but it's there on the website. And the second one, which is our episode called
The Human Person.
The Human Person will air on June 23rd, and it will remain there for the week as well, so you can watch them. You've been listening to a special edition of the Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro. I've been speaking with Sister Damien Marie Savino. She's an environmental engineer. She's also a Franciscan Sister of the Eucharist, and she's also the chair of the Environmental Science and Studies Department at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. She's also my partner in crime here with Creation, the series, my co-writer, co-researcher, co-driver. We've been spending a lot of time on this, so it's been great having you on the program, Sister, and working with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and likewise, it's been wonderful.
So again, Creation, the series, on our website, June 23rd and June 30th are the dates that it's airing, and we have episodes 4, 5, and 6 that will be coming in the fall. So that surprising ending that Sister mentioned will be there. You have to tune in. Then the encyclical Laudato Si by Pope Francis. It's available, I'm sure, everywhere. Look it up. There's lots there to unpack and lots there in terms of what has now become official Catholic teaching. We're going to leave you with a prayer, the Canticle of the Sun, or the Canticle of Creation by Francis. But before that, I just want to remind you that you can stream or podcast all our shows, the Salt and Light Hour, at our website, saltandlighttv.org/radio. That's also where you can find links to all our guests and find out what they're doing. I'm Deacon Pedro, your host. You can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter. Just look up for Deacon Pedro. You can find me. And when you find me, say hello. Don't be shy. Send me a comment or something, because I'd love to hear from you, especially if you're in Houston. If you're in Houston, I want to hear from you. I also want to say thank you and a big hug to Madeline Johnson here at the Radio Ministry Office of the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. It's so fun, Madeline, to see you and to be here. And what an excuse. We have work to do a show, but it's just an excuse to see Madeline. We love you. Thank you. Thank you for being here, for having us here. And thank you all for your generosity and for listening to our program. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been a special edition of the Salt and Light Hour. And here now with Sister Damien is St. Francis's Canticle of Creation. Most high, all-powerful, good Lord, yours are the praises, the glory, the honor, and all blessing.
To you alone, most high, do they belong, and no man is worthy to mention your name.
Be praised, my Lord, through all your creatures, especially through my Lord, brother, Son, who brings the day, and you give light through him, and he is beautiful and radiant in all his splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness.
Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars. In heaven you formed them, clear and precious and beautiful.
Praise be to you, my Lord, through brother Wind, and through the air, cloudy and serene, and every kind of weather through which you give sustenance to your creatures.
Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, who is very useful and humble and precious and chaste.
Praised be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong.
Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Mother Earth, who sustains us and governs us, and who produces various fruits with colored flowers and herbs.
Praised be you, my Lord, through those who give pardon to your love and bear infirmity and tribulation.
Blessed are those who endure in peace, for by you, Most High, they shall be crowned.
Praised be you, my Lord, through our sister bodily death, from whom no living man can escape.
Woe to those who die in mortal sin. Blessed are those whom death will find in your most holy will, for the second death shall do them no harm.
Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and Weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica Gift Shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m. For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.